I guess what I ought to do is review just a little bit before we actually, we're coming down. Well, Josh told me to turn on my sound here, and let me do that. We're not too far from the end of the tribulation period in chapter number 16. There's some things that occur after the tribulation period, but we're getting pretty close to the end. And I think what would be right tonight is for me to just kind of back up and review a little bit, bring us up to date, finish out with the tribulation if we could. But my manner is to always pray before I delve into the Word of God. And so if you would allow me to just pray, and if you'd pray for me, I'm very needy fellow without the Lord. I don't have the charisma and the personality and maybe the vocabulary that a lot have. And I just need the Lord. Fact of the matter, we all need the Lord. And so if you would, pray with me and for me for just a minute. Father, in Jesus' name, I come to you. And I thank you for the good, sweet spirit that I felt tonight in the singing, the testimonies. Thank you so much for just passing by for a few minutes and visiting with us. And I ask you now to help us as we look into your word. Give me clarity of thought and speech. And help me, Father, help me to say exactly what you want. And not just that, but to say it the way you want it said. I ask you to open hearts. Keep back any hindrances of that might hinder the working the Holy Spirit. Do an eternal work in our midst this evening. May we leave eternally changed for your glory and your honor. Thy will be done. But Father, above all things, get all the glory. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen and amen. All right, sometime back, maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago, I thought I was going to do a little review, and so I've got a few little things here, and I really think I need to slow down here's the way it is. It's hard to grasp new truth the first time around. It helps to hear it, and I know some of you pick at me about my reviews, but what little knowledge you do have, some of it come through reviewing. That's just how it is. And so I want to back up, and I want you to let me just say what most of y'all. I know most of you already know this, but I don't think it'll hurt us again. Revelation chapter 1 verse 1 says, "The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass." So we know it's a prophetic book by nature, because he's showing us things that are going to come to pass down the road or in the future. And then we went to chapter 1 verse number 19, and we see really a general outline for the book of the Revelation. It says this, "Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter." So we said this, that chapter 1 is the things which John had seen, and that's the glorified Christ. And then we said chapters 2 and 3 are the things which are. That's the church age. Chapter 2 and chapter 3 deals with the church age and the seven churches, and we've been through that. And the things which shall be hereafter is chapter 4 on through the end of the book. And so that has been our general format as we have started through the Revelation. So we come to Revelation chapter 4, and John is told to come up hither. And we see that as a foreview of the rapture of the church. You see the church in chapter 2. You see the church in chapter 3. And you do not read of the bride again until chapter 19. And so in between there, the bride has been raptured out in chapter, as we start into chapter 4. And they come back with the Lord in chapter 19. So that's kindly the picture that we've got. And then we come to chapter 5 and saw the seven sealed book. And we called that, for maybe lack of a better word, the title deed to the earth. That's what you hear so many times. Maybe it's a strategy. Maybe it's a war strategy for recovering the earth. I don't know, but I guess the title deed to the earth is as good as any. And we see that there was only one who was able to open the book, and that was the line of the tribe of Judah, the root of David. He's looking for a lamb and saw a lion. That's just how it is. And so we saw that. Now, as we come to chapter 6, and we work our way through chapter 6, we're going to see that the judgment of God in the revelation on Israel and on the wicked, evil world. Now, I don't want to go back and get all... This is Daniel's 70th week. And we can go back to Daniel 7 and Daniel 9 and go through that. This is the time of Jacob's trouble. If you study the Word of God, there is an emphasis... What I'm trying to say, there is an emphasis on God dealing with a Jew. You see, he turned from the Jew to the church age. In the church age, read Romans chapter 9, 10, 11, you'll see that. But when the church age is through, God is not through with the Jew. He's going to turn back to the Jew. And so that's what we see as we work through this thing. Now, God is dealing with an evil world. We'll see that as well. But his primary emphasis is dealing with that Jew and bringing that nation of Israel back to him. So we started that in chapter 6. And I was wanting to, if I can... I've got so many notes from all these old lessons, and I want to give you just kind of a little brief summary. What you see is God's program dealing with Israel that last 7 years. And there's three levels, that's not the right word, three different judgments God judges Israel with. In Revelation 6, we saw the six seals. In Revelation 8 and 9, we see the six trumpets. In Revelation 16, where we're at tonight, we see the seven vials. Now, actually, as you open the seventh seal, it is the seven trumpets. And you open the seventh trumpet, and it is the seven vials. And so, you take Revelation 6, Revelation 8, Revelation chapter 9, and chapter 16, and you have God's judgment upon the nation Israel. Now, chapter 7, 10, 11, and 12, and 13, chapter 17 and 18, all that contains additional information about the tribulation period. We learn about the two prophets. We learn about the 144,000. We learn about the two beasts. We learn about Satan's program in chapter 13 and 14. We see God's program. We come to chapter 13 and 14, or maybe it's 12 and 13. I'd have to go back and look. But Satan, he has his program. It is 12 and 13. We see Satan's cast out of heaven. We see his future. He's cast out of heaven. He's angry about that. He hates the Jewish nation. He turns his wrath towards the Jew. We talk through those truths. And so really we're up to chapter 16. We've been through the seals. and we've been through the trumpets. And now as we come to chapter 16, we're going to look at the vials. And when the vials are through, God's judgment's been, His justice has been satisfied. And so let's just start in Revelation 16. I know that was a quick, and maybe I didn't cover that as well as I should have, but I want to give you just a few things this evening. As we come to chapter 16, we're going to see, let me see if I can find a, let's read chapter 15, verse 1. That would, in fact, I don't even know if we got through chapter 15 last time. Do y'all remember that or not? Let's back up just a little bit and look at chapter 15 for just a minute. Notice what John says in verse 1. And I saw another sign in heaven, seven angels having the seven last plagues, that's the vial judgments, for in them is filled up the wrath of God. When the seven vial judgments have been poured out, God's wrath is fulfilled. He's through. Justice has been served. All that's left is for him to come back and conquer his enemies and reclaim the earth. But justice has been served. So we see that little truth there. Verse 2, let me read it, and we may jump over to chapter 16. And I saw as it were a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast and over his image and over his mark and over the number of his name stand on the sea of glass having the harps of God, and they sing the song of Moses. And so there's the song of victory. Let's come down to about verse number 6. And the seven angels came out. Let's read verse 5 as well. And after that I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was open, and the seven angels came out of the temple, having the seven plagues, clothed in pure and white linen, and having their breasts girded with golden girdles. And one of the four beasts gave unto the seven angels seven golden vials full of the wrath of God, who liveth forever and ever. And the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power, and no man was able to enter into the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels were fulfilled. And verse number 1 of chapter 16 says this, and I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, go your ways and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. Now, who's doing the talking in verse 1? Here's what I want you to understand. In this tribulation period, things look desperately bad and out of control. But can I tell you, God's calling the shots. He's in control. He's the one that says, now it's time for the vial judgments to come. When is it right to judge the earth? When God says it is. He's God. He's righteous. We're going to see that said here in a little bit. But I want you to understand, as we look at these vile judgments, it's operating on God's program. It's God. He's the one speaking. All right, so we hear a voice. And always remember this, God's in charge. I'd like to say it's kind of a little worldly term, but God's running the show. He's running things, you see. The devil, it looks like the devil's in control. And you read chapter 12 and chapter 13, you think the devil, my, he's given power over the saints, and the false prophets saying, worship him. He's mighty, and the whole world turns to him. And everybody thinks the devil's in charge, and the devil's winning, and the devil's coming out on top. Can I tell you, our God is just allowing that to happen. He has all power. He can wipe out the devil when he gets ready to. I'm telling you, God, as we work through this book, God is calling the shots here. And so keep that in mind. And I think he's calling the shots in this world today. I'm pretty sure God's still on the throne. I'm pretty sure he's not worried tonight. He's not wringing his hands. He's not running his fingers through his hair and saying, oh, what am I going to do next? I'm telling you, he's in charge. It's right on schedule, friend. We're all tore up about the world and the shape it's in. And maybe that's a good thing to be concerned. But the fact of the matter is, God's in charge and it's right on course. That's how it is. That's where we're at. My, well, that's what, it's going to be no different in the tribulation. He's running the thing. All right, let's see what the first vial is. And the first went, that's talking about the first angel, the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast and upon them which worshipped his image. The first thing we see in this vial is a judgment against those who are worshiping the beast and who have his mark. And my, you know what the, I don't know if this has anything to do with it, but you know what the first two commandments are? Let me thou shalt have no other gods before me. You know what the second commandment is? Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. What were they doing? They're worshiping another god, and the false prophet said, hey, you need to make an image and worship him, and the world followed suit. And so here's what's happening. God's bringing judgment on that crowd. Now let me just say this, you can go with the devil if you want to, but I'm going to tell you there's a price to pay for it. And it'll cost you more than you really want to pay. You may think you're cool and you've figured it out, and you've got it all worked out, you're going to work your program and go against God's way. I'm telling you, it'll cost you more than you want to pay. And here's what these beast worshipers are doing. They're paying the cost for their decision. Now, the saints already have. It cost them their life. To go with Jesus, it cost them their life. But the fact, that's their cost. But can I tell you, they died to live. We read about the 144,000 standing on Mount Zion. My, I guess it looked bad when they gave the... They gave the beast power over the saints. Maybe he killed that. I think he killed that 144,000 about halfway through. And then we see them on Mount Zion. They're living it. They're doing well after that. Death was a blessing to them, you see. All right, well, let me try to stay in the lesson if I can tonight. By one, we see the focus is on the, it's on the, those who are worshiping the beast. And so the first vials of physical calamity or malady of sores and of boils. We see that this very similar, if you Bible students, you know this, very similar to Egypt in some ways. You remember the boils and was it moraine or something, if I've got the word right? Something like that. And so even old Job, you know, they afflicted him with boils. And so I think what we're seeing here is God bringing on them what they rightly are worthy of. Okay, so the first vial, we see that it's a physical calamity. And then we come to vial number two, and the second angel poured out his vial upon the sea, and it became as the blood of a dead man, and every living soul died in the sea. The sea became as the blood of a dead man. Now it doesn't say it is the blood. It does a little later in the third vial. They became blood, the fountains and the pure water. But here it says it's as the blood. Now, I don't know if it was truly blood in the second vial. Many think it was something similar to it, but maybe not blood. But notice what it says. Every living soul died in the sea. Now, I don't know if we're just talking about the Mediterranean Sea or all seas. But if you study this out, it looks like it's a judgment on all the earth when you look at it. And if that be the case, it seemed like it would be a judgment on all the seas. Now, that's just my take on that. But let's go on. The context is God's final judgment. So it makes you think maybe we're dealing with all of it. But stop and think about this. If all the life in the sea is dead, can you imagine all the marine life dying out? I mean, just stop and think about that for a minute. Can you imagine the stench? What a smell. What a terrible smell that would be. Food supply for a lot of areas would be very limited then, because big part of the world, a lot of their diet, it revolves around fish and sea life. And so the food is going to be severely hindered. Jobs would be affected. The fishermen, all those that work in that type, the jobs and the economy is going to be crippled. We look at that and maybe don't think much about it. But here's what hits me harder than anything is it looks like the water supply, and I know this is salt water, but the water supply is going to be greatly minimized. We're going to look at the third vial, and it's very similar. The Bible says in verse 4, and the third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and fountains of water, and they became blood. Now the Bible says they became blood. Verse 5, and I heard the angel of the waters say, Thou art righteous, O Lord. There's the angel saying, what you're doing, Lord, is right. It's righteous. I guess there were some maybe questioning God, what God was allowing to take place. Maybe like we do today. You know, those people say, well, why does God let this happen? Well, God is God. We can't understand everything. I can't understand all that goes on. I can't understand why Some have short lives and some live long lives. I don't understand this, but I know this. God is righteous. What he does is right. Well, that's what the angel's saying. Let me read a few of these and we'll close it down a little bit. Third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and fountains of water, and they became blood. And I heard the angel of the water say, Thou art righteous, O Lord, which art and wast and shalt be, because thou hast judged thus. For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy. That's a judgment right there. Here's what he's saying, because you've shed the blood of the saints and the prophets, you get to drink blood. You might say, that's not right, that's unfair. God's righteous. It is right. And so, verse 7, I heard another out of the altar say, Even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are thy judgments. And so we see God is wrapping this thing up. Now keep in mind, when we're through with the vile judgments, God's wrath is satisfied. I know the battle of Armageddon's yet to come, but that is just God reclaiming the earth. His judgment is going to be satisfied. Now let's look at this fourth vial. And the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. Now, think about this. We've just, the fresh water supply is being contaminated, and the salt water supply is being contaminated, and now God brings the sun, and power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. So now you've got all this heat, all this scorching that's going on men's bodies, and no water. That's amazing how that follows the water judgments. And so, here's what it said. Here's what you would think. You would think the men would say this, or the people who's going through these trials, you'd think they might say, Lord, forgive us, show us mercy. Father, we beg you to show mercy upon us. Wouldn't that be a right thing to say? I mean, I don't know that it's not too late at this point, but you would think people would break down if they're being scorched by the sun and there's no water, the water's been turned to blood, I guess they'll just drink blood because there's nothing else. I guess I don't know. But it seemed like it would bring a man to repentance. It would bring him to his knees. Notice what it does. And the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. And the men were scorched with great heat. And what do? Do they repent? Do they ask God for forgiveness? Do they beg for mercy like the man in hell in Luke, is that 15 or 16, when he's begging for mercy? Do they do that? No, notice what they do. And the men were scorched with great heat and blasphemed the name of God, which hath power over these plagues, and they repented not to give him glory. It just made them harder. And I said to you before, the sun that softens wax is the same sun that hardens clay. And what's happening, they're getting harder. Verse 10, let me get through the six seals anyway. And verse 10, and the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seed of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues for pain. Now here's what I think. I think these vials are happening enough that they're accumulating on men. I don't think you have one vial and it goes away and then another vial. I think you have a vial and you have sores, and then you have water being turned to blood, and then you have sun scorching, and all those things are happening at one time. I think it's a progressively getting worse judgment upon the wicked world. And so here's what it says in verse number 10. And the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the sea of the beast, and it was full of darkness. I think it's that same darkness we saw in Egypt. Darkness you could feel. Darkness that light couldn't penetrate. I think that's what we're looking at here. It doesn't say that, but I think it's most likely very similar. And so here's what it says: when that darkness came, and they gnawed their tongues for pain. Now, did the darkness bring pain? I don't know. It almost would make you think that, but I wonder if it's not the pain from the first vial, from those noisome and grievous sores upon the men. I wonder that. I wonder if it's the pain from the scorching of the sun. But here they are in darkness. They can't move around, don't know where to go and how to operate. And I guess it makes the thoughts of that of the pain they're going through much more real too. You know, if you get your mind off things, sometimes it makes it a little better. But if you're just sitting there and can't move, and you're in darkness, total darkness, and you're just sitting there dwelling in your calamities of life, things are a lot worse. And I think that's what's going on here. They're gnawing their tongues. That's how bad it is. But verse 11, here's what blows your mind out of this. They gnawed their tongues for pain and blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and repented not of their deeds. Here's the thing that amazed me. They know who's bringing these judgments upon them. They're not cursing the politicians. They're not cursing the beast. They're not cursing the system. They're blaspheming God. They know it's God that's allowing this to happen to them. And they're still blaspheming Him. And they still refuse to repent. My, that's a hard heart right there. I'm telling you, it's going to be a wicked time. I can't imagine where people are at. Let me read the next one. The sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. Now what's going on now? They're getting ready to bring them in around Israel for the battle of Armageddon. It's getting ready. This thing's wrapping up. This is the vial judgment. It's over after this. God's wrath is satisfied after this. And so He's bringing them all in. We're going to see these three spirits like frog. Well, let's just read real quickly. Verse 13, I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. Now, what are they doing? What are these unclean spirits like frogs? What's their purpose? Notice verse 14. For they are the spirits of devils. They're the spirits of devils working miracles. Now let me say this. You better be suspect of the miraculous in the spiritual realm. You better be suspect of it. Not all miracle workings that you see is of God. Amen, preacher. There's some demonic miracles that God has allowed the devil to have, and it's going to deceive folks. And that's what these spirits are doing. What are they going to deceive them into doing? Let's see what it says. For they are the spirits of devils working miracles which go forth unto the kings of the earth. Not just Israel's king. I should have said the Antichrist, the beast. Not just him. Not just his little cohorts. His other seven kings or whatever they'll be called. Not just that handful, but the kings of the earth and of the whole world. See, these vile judgments, it's a worldwide thing is what I think. And so it says this, to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. Behold, I come as a thief. Now let me just stop here on verse 15. And I know I've went way over, so just hold on. I just want to give you a couple points, and I'm going to shut down for the night. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. Here's what I wonder. The thief speaks of the rapture. It's imminent. There's no signs that we're going to have about the rapture. Now, you might say some of the signs of the second coming, it'll be similar, and you may be right there. But really, the rapture's imminent. That's what comes as a thief. The second coming, it should be known. There's signs for the second coming. We should know them. And when he says this, I wonder if John, under inspiration of the Holy Spirit's not taking time out and going back to the church and saying, look, you better stay right. You see what's happening? You better keep yourself right. And I want to tell you, we better stay right. The Lord could come any time. And most of y'all say that. Me and Brother Ronnie, I believe it was, talking the other day about the... It seemed like there's no way that the Lord cannot... I'll get these double negatives sideways here. It seemed like he's just got to come before too long. And I know it got down to one family in the days of Noah. I understand that. Could it get... I don't know how low it could get, but it just seems to me the Lord's going to have to come before too long. We're going to self-destruct if he doesn't. It seems to me we're going to destroy ourselves if he doesn't come. But anyway, it's almost like he took time out there when he talks about coming as a thief. And he's talking to the... And I don't know, you might have something else to add to that. Verse 16, and he gathered them together into a place called, in the Hebrew tongue, Armageddon. And so here's these false spirits went out, and now they're gathered to Armageddon. Now we come to the seventh vial, and the whole world falls apart. Notice, I just got a few verses. Let me finish, and I know I'm just hitting the high spots, but just stay with me. And the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, it is done. The tribulation period's over after the seventh vial. You say, is the battle of Armageddon part of the tribulation period? If you won't say that, I wouldn't argue with you. But I think really it's over after the seventh vial. And then the Lord comes back and reclaims his church. That's what it says. Here's what it says. Verse 17, it is done. Now, what happens when the seventh vial is poured out? And there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. First an earthquake. What happens? And the great city was divided into three parts. I think maybe that's Jerusalem. You all can tell me what you think. And the cities of the nations fail. The cities are destroyed. Now, if this is a worldwide judgment, then it makes me wonder if all the cities of the earth are not going to be destroyed. That they're just going to collapse. This earthquake is going to be a worldwide thing. You say, that can't be. I don't know. You do with it what you want to do. That's what it seems to say. And the cities of the nations fail. Great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. We're going to see about the Babylons being destroyed next chapter. They're going to explain that to us. Notice verse 20. And every island fled away. An earthquake and every island fled away. Every island fled away. Man, it's going to be terror. Everything that man thinks is solid and secure and steadfast is going to fall away. They're not going to be able to have confidence in anything. The whole system's falling apart. Notice what else it says. Every island fled away and the mountains were not found. Can you imagine not being able to find a mountain? That's I don't think we need grasp what's going on there. Now you might say this is all around Palestine, just covers that. Well, it says the world. It's dealing with the world. Let me see what else we've got here. Verse 21, and there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent. I looked up the weight of a talent, that's 75 pounds about. That's what it said, 75 pounds hailstone. Now, will we repent at that point? Will man repent at that point? Well, here again, we've already seen twice where they wouldn't. And men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, for the plague thereof was exceeding great. Now, when the islands flee away and the mountains disappear and all the cities collapse and hail is falling and destroying, I guess, everything that's left, I don't know, vegetation maybe or whatever, man, this thing's a mess. It's a mess. He's through judging the earth. Now he's going to come back and he's going to reclaim it and rework it. And so that brings us through chapter 16. I'm going to stop right there tonight. That gets us through 16. We'll look at chapter 17 next week about Mystery Babylon the Great and talk about that. And we'll just stop there tonight. Let's bow our heads. Maybe somebody come in and you need to pray tonight. I always want to give you an opportunity if you need to use the altar. Maybe you need to be saved tonight. Maybe God dealt with your heart. Why don't you, if you need this altar, why don't you come tonight while she plays one verse, Sister Emily, if nobody comes.